New music must have a foundation that is both biblical and sacred. This is the story of Isaac Watts, the author of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, in today's episode of Heritage Hymns.
Welcome to the Heritage Hymns broadcast with our speaker, Daniel Cox. Join us as we travel back in time to learn of the great songwriters and the stories that they told us through music. Stay tuned at the end of this broadcast for more information. But for now, here's Pastor Cox.
While Mrs. Watts was giving birth to her son Isaac in Southampton, England in 1674, his nonconformist father was in prison. Not embracing the governance of the Church of England, his father's independence would serve him well during his 74 years of living. It is said that Watts' propensity of illness and unsightly appearance took its toll on his personal life. His 5-foot, pale, skinny frame was topped by a disproportionately oversized head. Although Isaac loved Elizabeth Singer and proposed to her in marriage, she soundly rejected him. As one biographer noted, though she loved the jewel, she could not admire the casket which contained it. Beauty may have been in the eyes of the beholder, but God Almighty liked what he saw. Young Isaac showed linguistic and musical genius early in life, learning Latin by age 4, Greek at 9, French at 11, and Hebrew at age 13. His physical appearance would prove to be no hindrance to his lasting influence among the saints. In 17th century England, it was the practice of almost every congregation of England to sing only Old Testament psalms in public worship. Over the years, Isaac Watts had grown indifferent to this liturgical style and felt that the psalms did not radiate with gospel light contained in the New Testament, nor could easily and naturally be accommodated to the various occasions of Christian life. He said, "To see the dull indifference, the negligent and thoughtless air that sits upon the faces of a whole assembly, while the psalm is upon their lips, might even tempt a charitable observer to suspect the fervency of their inward religion." It was clear to Watts that a new contribution be made to church music. Complaining about such songs since his teenage years, his father compelled him to write better music. From age 20 to 22, hymns poured from his pen with the impetus of true genius. Watts retooled the Psalms into an elegant tapestry of piety and praise. Psalm 98 became Joy to the World. Psalm 72 became Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun. And Psalm 90 became O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Other works were written, such as At the Cross, Am I a Soldier of the Cross, and over 600 more. Accordingly, in 1707, Watts produced a new hymnal entitled Hymns and Spiritual Songs. His work, however, was not immediately seen as a welcome contribution to church music. His protesters exclaimed, "Christian congregations have shut out divinely inspired psalms and taken in Watts' flights of fancy," while others labeled his hymns Watts' whims. But in the preface to Hymns and Spiritual Songs, Watts addressed the worship situation of his time and offered a defense for writing and publishing new music. He said, "Many ministers and many private Christians have long groaned under this inconvenience, and have wished rather than attempted a reformation. At their importunate and repeated request, I have some years past devoted many hours of leisure to this service. Far be it from my thoughts to lay aside the Psalms of David in public worship. Few can pretend so great a value for them as myself, but it must be acknowledged still that there are 1,000 lines in it which were not made for a saint in our day to assume as his own. There are also many deficiencies of light and glory which our Lord Jesus and his apostles have supplied in the writings of the New Testament. And with this advantage, I have composed these spiritual songs which are now presented to the world." And in this volume of newly minted classics was the great song, when I survey the wondrous cross. As one music historian said, Watts' songs successfully built a bridge from psalmody to hymnody and set the church free to create a living body of Christian praise in God. What must be remembered in our times of change is that Watts neither denigrated nor built a new edifice on a new foundation. Rather, he used an old foundation to write new music. Isaac Watts serves in the lore of the greatest hymns of our faith, and his contribution to worship more than three centuries later is a wonderful heritage. What a Savior, what a song, and what a heritage of hymns.
If you enjoyed the broadcast and would like to access more information regarding the music ministry, please visit heritagehymns.info or pastordanielcox.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.